Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm going to be speaking to you about a renewed mind from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I hope you enjoy it. I was in South Africa and we had the opportunity to go to Robben Island. And Robben Island is much been publicized, the place where Nelson Mandela spent the majority of his prison life. And really, he was in prison so that he could, as a freedom fighter, he would actually, you know, ultimately that place was where the dreams were birthed of how he could bring change to a nation. But we had the privilege of going around the island and seeing everything. And our particular tour guide was also a freedom fighter, part of the militant ANC back in that time. And so he was thrown in prison for 7 years. And so as he walked us around the prison cells, it's totally different when you're with somebody who actually spent a lot of their life in there. And as we're talking and listening, I hear him tell the story about the plaster in the walls has actually been designed in such a way that it would retain moisture. So in the winter time, it would be even colder and damper in those cells. You know, the evil of how it was birthed to set it up so that it was inhumane in that prison. But here I am with this man who for 7 years he spent his life there. Now he's instructing me about his emotions, his feelings, and what was going on. And I couldn't help think to myself, how could you have spent 7 years here, talk about the torturous activity, even some of the guards that used to be in there are now back as tour guides. And I'm thinking, how have these guys reconciled it? In the natural, it's impossible. But when he's asked the question by somebody, because obviously other people are thinking the same as me, they go, he says, you got any questions? Somebody goes, yeah. Why would you come back here and work here? And he said a remarkable thing. He says, there comes a point in everybody's life where you can't live in what once was if you're going to move into what the freedom of the future is. And as he said that, I thought, wow, his prison actually that held him captive, that bound him up, ultimately became the source of his freedom. And yet we get so caught up with stuff that goes on around our lives, things that we're going through, not realizing that sometimes they're going to be the very thing that's going to help us break into what God has purposed for us. So today I want to challenge you. I want to stir you. I want to speak to you about renewed thinking. This isn't just for somebody who doesn't know Jesus today. It is for you. But church, we can allow thoughts to build up in our hearts, our minds, disappointment, circumstances, things people say about us to hold us back from what God has for us. Friday, a week ago, I was in South Africa. It was my 27th wedding anniversary. And yeah, it's incredible, but it's on the 7th of the 7th, 2017. And it suddenly made me trigger the month that we're in. We're actually in the 7th month. And you know, in context, I started to think about that because 7 in the Bible means completion. And as I was processing that, I felt like God spoke to me and said, in the natural, the third quarter of the year is the winter months. It's a bit down. Things don't grow and develop. But I started to say, well, God, that's what's in the natural, but in the natural is not where I live. According to your thinking and your planning, according to kingdom culture, we don't trade according to what's happening in the natural. So I want to declare over us that this is the month. This is the season of completion. What you've been going through, the circumstances you had, we're going to believe today it is finished in Jesus' name. And we're going to step into all God has for us. I declare that the third quarter of this year is going to be the greatest season of growth we've ever seen as a church. I mean, look at the crowd here on a cold winter's day. God is already starting to stir something. But for that to happen, we need to renew our thinking. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, when we even hear a scripture like that, it doesn't sound that exciting, that compelling. Give over my whole life, But actually, that's what God has purposed for each one of us. When we come into His kingdom, we understand our lives are not our own. And it's not something that is, oh, we have to give it over. It should be something that with the passion and the zeal that we have found in our Lord, that we actually want to give our whole lives over to Him. Holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. I don't know about you, but I want to know what God's will is for my life. I want to live according to His purpose for my life. You know, right now we're obviously nearly at the end when it comes to Papua New Guinea of this part of the journey. 4 weeks from now, we're actually going to be heading over, you know, 300 of us are going to head over to Papua New Guinea. And just this week, we actually packed up trucks, we filled sea containers, and there's stuff where we're going to transform. One of the prisons there has gone on a sea container over there. We've just shipped over 50,000 different things we're going to give kids in primary schools. I believe colouring book and all different things that we've done. And so, you know, things are really starting to rapidly happen. But when God spoke to me specifically about transforming the nation, He gave me in order, you've heard it many times, but He said, talked about leadership and how we actually had to change mindset. So for me, I've been thinking about transform mindset, because we're not just talking about a couple of people, we're now talking about changing the mindset of a nation. And so with that in mind, I've been studying and thinking and asking the Lord, how do you do that? Because it's great that He's given us the word, but now we've got to roll that out. And so with that, you know, then we had business and education and health, and the last part was the church. So we got to change the mindset of leadership, but then the church, we got to make the church a transformational church. These are the two words that God gave me, not from this scripture, it was just in the night and I wrote it out. And so transforming something means you actually turn it around. It doesn't look the same. It's morphed into something else. And so with that in mind, I want to help take you on a journey, because we're talking about a nation, but God's been speaking to me about things that we can do personally to live a transformed life, to live with that sense of mindset. And I want to read it again in Romans chapter 12, but verse 2 now, specifically from the New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Hear me, church, don't copy it. Don't live according to what the magazine says. Don't live according to what the latest television show says. Don't live according to what the stats say. Live according to what God has to say. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Here in chapter 12 of Romans, it's the early church, and Paul is speaking, and he's talking about the last 11 chapters, how good it is. But the first, if you like, exhortation he gives to the church is specifically speaking about having a renewed mind. So we need to take note of what he's saying here. To renew means to exchange one thing for another. In other words, when we put it off and put it on, we're exchanging our thinking for God's thinking. Church, it's very easy for us to get trapped in what the world is saying. It's very easy for us to start to believe, oh, there's more disease in this area. Oh, this is getting worse for people. Oh, marriages are falling apart. But we don't live according to the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, Paul says. So we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. To transform actually means to morph. While I was in South Africa, I went and saw the latest version of the Transformers. Anybody seen it? Wow, two hands. And then there's all the people that aren't willing to confess. Oh, Pastor Russell being one of them. Who has seen it? Come on, lift your hand high. It's all men, I'm noticing. It was pretty average really, wasn't it? But anyway, sorry for the endorsement of the film, but it was pretty average. It was long. And I went to a thing called 4D, which we don't have apparently in Australia yet, but basically water squirted at me and there was smells and there was all sorts of other things, and that wasn't just my son. And anyway, there was all this stuff there. But the truth is, you watch trucks and you watch cars and things morph from that into this fighting machine, you know, these huge robots. And so we can actually live with a transforming mentality of our mind and actually think, well, what's going to happen is we're actually going to, like the moth, suddenly, you know, transform from that into a beautiful butterfly or whatever it might be. And so we can actually live with our lives are going to be transformed slowly but surely, adding things on to what we've done. But actually, that's not what it's saying. It's saying transformation happens by the renewal. So we need to be careful that we don't focus on the transformation. That's the end product. We actually focus on what are we to do to position ourselves to be renewed for what God has purposed for us. So here it actually talks about transformed by renewal. The word renewal actually means to renovate. I don't know about you, but I love watching those renovation shows. Anybody here love them? Oh, you know, if Pastor Russell would allow it, Leonie and I would love to go on for 8 weeks, one of those shows and represent it. It's not true, actually. I don't think our marriage would actually last through that thing. And you would all see it on TV and there'd be no holds barred. Whew, that would not be good. But anyway, the point of what they do is they take something that is old, but they don't just make it look new. They pull stuff out and they replace it with new things. So to renew actually means to pull out the old and replace it with the new, to make it new again, better than it was before. So we need to recognize there's some steps here if we're going to renew our mind. The first step is that we actually need to remove. We don't actually just go, God, would you bless me? God, would you give me my language? We actually need to remove. I am no longer a prisoner to my old thinking. I'm going to allow that old thinking, that negativity, that holds me back to go. I'm actually going to, you know, remove it. I'm going to do something to take it away. You know, I can't be blessed. Or, well, you know, why would God love me? Healing doesn't happen for me. It happens for other people. That is wrong thinking because it's counter to the Word of God. We need to be people that remove that style of thinking, that negativity, how God's not going to come through for us, and recognize that as we remove it, then suddenly we live in a place. The second step is to repent. Repent actually means to renounce, to formally declare that we abandon what was to replace it with what is, and to denounce, to publicly declare that we were wrong or we were living in sin. We do that when we have a salvation altar call. We recognize that, but church, we shouldn't allow ourselves to think that because we've come to the salvation altar call that we're right. Because thoughts creep in and we take hold of those thoughts and suddenly we start to live according to the world's pattern rather than what God has. So can I say to each one of you today, would you be open for the Holy Spirit to speak to you about where you've allowed wrong thoughts to get in, where you've taken on a lie, where you've actually allowed yourself to get stuck in a place and you're not living in the full provision God has for you? You see, the Greek word translated specifically for repentance actually means to have a changed mind. So when we repent, we're actually intentionally changing our mind. We're saying, what was isn't anymore. What is what God is speaking to me from now on. And the third step is to replace, to take the place of, not just to lay over, but to take the place of. So we remove something and we put something new on. Ephesians 4:22 verse 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Church, we are supposed to be separated. We are supposed to be different. You know, where we've got as a church, and I'm talking globally, is we're so consumed with being contemporary, being like everybody else so that we don't stand out. We're supposed to stand out. We're the hope of the earth. We're a representative of Jesus Christ, and He is different, and it's the hope of glory. It's what people need. So when they come in here, they should hear a sense of faith. They should hear a sense of hope. They should walk in this place and believe they can be healed. They should walk in this place and believe something's going to change in their life. They shouldn't live in the place they've always lived. But over here, I've got a coat rack. And what we tend to do is rather than actually, you know, remove, we actually put stuff over.
And, you know, we get stuff like this, and rather than taking off the current jacket we got, we put on a new one. Phew. This is maybe a little old. Maybe just a couple of extra... A couple of extra kilos since I last put this one on. But isn't it amazing how we come into church and we go, I've got a few things going on, but okay, I'll put that faith on. But the faith doesn't actually work if you don't actually remove the old. You see, in mindset sense, you don't just keep adding things. I go to places in Papua New Guinea. I go to some of the regions. You go to the Sepik region as an example, and you can walk in, and on the door it can have a church. This is getting tougher by the minute. You're going to have a church, and it has this name on it, and I feel like Igor, you know, that guy. But anyway, it has this name on it that is a name that we know of, a Christian church. But when you go in, there's Christian songs, but then suddenly the pastor comes out and he's actually putting curses on people because he's come from a spiritist background and he's just put a badge on top of it and really nothing has changed. He's still living according to the patterns of the earth. We need to not just put a new one on. I'm not going to get this off. But you see, it's old, it's okay. You're not supposed to laugh now, by the way. You were laughing at that screen. Don't laugh at me now, okay? But you see, you take the, remove that coat. That is your old. That is where you used to be. That's how you used to think. That's what people saw in you in the past. So now suddenly you're standing here naked. Well, this is as good as you're going to get it if you're thinking anything else, okay? I know, but no, this is where I'm staying. Not prepared to go any further. It's a family channel right here. But here you are, and you've taken your jacket off, and now you're in the place of repentance. First step is to remove it. The second step is to feel like, wow, I feel a little insecure. If you remember when you got saved and they ask you to walk to the front, you're like, walk to the front? And like everybody's looking and not knowing that everybody's celebrating, but there's something of you now not feeling so comfortable because you've taken it off. And there's a tendency for many of us, if we don't actually then put something else on, we want to go and pick up what's comfortable again. And some of us had changed a mindset. Here we went, yes, Lord. Then we walk out and we walk into that boardroom, into that family setting, that doctor, and suddenly we put on the old coat again. We need to recognize we've got to remove, we've got to repent, but then we've actually got to replace it. Recognizing that God has thinking for us. God has a way that is not our ways, but it's His way. And He wants us to put on the jacket, put on the thinking that He has for us. And then we walk differently. Then suddenly we think differently. Then suddenly we have faith where we didn't have faith. Suddenly we see provision and blessing. We see breakthrough in our life because now we're living with what He's provided for us, not what the world has provided for us. So it's important that we live in that place. So we need to get the Word into us. We need to recognize that this jacket is the Word of God. And that God speaks to us in many ways, but most of the ways that He actually interacts with us, often in the initial stages when we're trying to understand how to wear this new jacket, are right here. Don't come to church once every 3 weeks. Well, what you're going to do is you're going to have most of your revelation is from the world. So you're going to live with that old jacket on. But if you're in this place as often as you can be, there's going to be words spoken. There's going to be things that are going to come. The Word of God is going to be transformed in your mind, and suddenly you're going to believe because you're putting on a new jacket. You get to Urban Life Group and they're speaking about something. You go, wow, it's like they're speaking straight to me. Do you know how many times I go out into the foyer and people go, wow, did you write that message for me? No, I didn't, but God did. He's got a plan for your life and He wants to speak the Word over your life. And He therefore has something greater than you're going to get from out there in the world. So we come into this place. We sing incredible songs, but they're not just songs. These words are straight from the Word of God, straight the Word of Revelation. And as they're spoken, what about Beautiful Woman? Now, I'm going to go to Beautiful Woman. I might have a different style of jacket on. You know, a bit of bling and... No, not really, I'll stand at the back. But I'm going to come into the place. But women, you've got an opportunity to come. You've got an opportunity to be here. Oh, but I've been before. But get in the place of revelation. Understand the word is going to be spoken. God is going to download from heaven. And suddenly you're going to be able to counter that culture that you live most of your time in. We are supposed to be separated. We are supposed to be different. Let's stop apologizing for that and understand that the kingdom of heaven is far greater than anything we're going to find on earth. So let's live according to that pattern. Renewing the mind is the way to change a person's belief and therefore their behavior. Whoever directs our mind is ultimately going to direct our lives. So the question is, what is leading and guiding you? Is it the Today Show in the morning? I've got to watch those 2 hours. Partly because you want to win the $10,000, but partly because you're listening and and then they have these panels and you have these panels of experts. And they start talking about stuff and you're thinking, where on earth did they get that thought from? Or have you ever been watching one of those shows and got irritated? That is wrong. I don't agree with that. Well, rather than us as the church standing back saying it's wrong, why don't we actually position ourselves so we become those people that speak? So that when they're asking for an expert opinion, we speak and we bring the kingdom of heaven. We actually speak into that city. We need to be people that understand that we're the head and not the tail. We need to rise up with that sense of God is for us. Who can be against us? But we've got to get full of the word of God. Right now, there's Planet Uni students. There's some here I hear this morning, you know, that have come. Some that have arrived mid-year and they're part of our church. Pastor Rudy was telling me that we've seen double the amount of people show interest to want to be a part of Planet Shakers, which is phenomenal. Well done to our whole team. But the reality is that universities are the place where mind transformation happens. And we get upset about it. Why do we get upset about it? Because we don't have a control over it. But church, I want you to understand why we run Planet Uni. International students and local students come in, they find Jesus in our church, and they don't just go to university for 3 or 4 years. They come into the house of God. Transformation happens. There's story after story after story of first generation Christians that took off the jacket of the old when they came, and now they live in a transformed mindset. You know, right now, why do I get so excited about Papua New Guinea and the fact that we're working with Oral Roberts University? Next year, we're going to run a pilot program of 100 first-year intake tertiary students. But the plan is that over the next 5 years, that 10,000 students a year are going to be delivered through that system, that university. It's a spirit-filled Pentecostal university. They still do the formal education of all the different courses, legal courses and health courses and all sorts of other university degrees. But suddenly the ideological base is the kingdom of God. So now there's 8,000 students being trained. In 5 years, there'll be 18,000, 10,000 in a Pentecostal university. We can actually change the mindset of a nation because we're laying a foundation of the kingdom. But church, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that you need to live according to that revelation as well. Don't just look at what we're doing out here. What about you? Have you put on the jacket of God's revelation? Are you listening to his voice and what he's saying? You see, as our belief systems are formed, they can easily be corrupted. These corrupted belief systems are simply called strongholds. These strongholds, you know, prevent us from, if you like, getting an accurate picture of who God is. And the building blocks of these strongholds are thoughts. And we need to capture those negative thoughts. I lost that contract this week. Am I going to still be able to pay the bills? Grab that thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? He's got blessing and overflow to come into your circumstance. I've just been told by the doctor that I've got a diagnosis so I can't be healed. Oh, we serve a God who can come and in an instant can turn around what looks like is going to be death into life. We need to be people that understand if God is with us, then he's actually going to build into our lives. But if we get a thought here and we take... And we go, well, what's going to happen there? Oh, the world's getting a harder place. Oh, my kids, they're going to be taken away by drugs and this is going to happen. No, we can dare to believe that God has a greater plan for us. Put on the jacket of his thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every preacher pretense, every lofty thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We live a different way, church. We understand that our God is in control. We understand that we want His thoughts, not our thoughts, so that our purpose is fulfilled through Him. In Romans 12 and 1 that I've read, it tells us the way that we are transformed. And the way we learn to live Christ's life is by the renewing of our minds. What does that mean? Putting off our negativity and putting on God's thoughts. Why a renewed mind is so important? Well, God wants us to have His mind, because His mind is perfect. His mind is great. His mind has a plan in mind before we even start. So we don't have to worry about where we're going or what we're doing. We just need to take a step as He leads and directs us. The second reason is because there's supernatural ability to discern. So often we're faced with decisions, we're faced with challenges, but we need to recognize that God has already got a plan mapped out for our lives. So if we can actually come under His thinking, then suddenly we're able to have this supernatural ability to discern what's right and wrong for us. It's important that we put on the mind of Christ. You know, I went to a place called Vudemont. I don't know if you've ever been there. I went there for breakfast, and Vudemont prides himself on having, well, weird food. I mean, it's not weird. It tastes all right, but you've got no idea what you're eating. You know, it's like, I can't remember. I was having breakfast, and I was having this breakfast, and they were saying it was like a journey. And I was like, I just want to eat the muffin. What's I got to go on a journey for? And, you know, it's like you walk across the grass. No, I can't walk. I'm sitting down. Just give me the burger. But anyway, I was in Vudemont. Sorry for all those food lovers here. Who's with me? Just eat food, for crying out loud. Oh, yes. Look, there's a big majority. I think there needs to be a new food show called We're Gonna Eat. Crying out loud. Anyway, and so I was there, and I went to the window, and as I looked out the window, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning, and there was traffic everywhere, and I could see traffic on the bridge, traffic on the road, and if I wasn't in Vudemont, I'd have probably been in my car contributing to the traffic. But when I was taken out of the traffic, now suddenly I'm transformed. I'm actually at level 55 and my perspective is totally different. I'm in a quiet, tranquil place. And if one of my kids was trapped in the traffic and I was looking down, I'd be able to say to them, don't go that way, go this way. There's not blockage there if you jump in your car. And I would be able to contribute to helping them through rather than just contributing to the problem. But how many of us are caught in the traffic? How many of us haven't got the view of God, haven't got His perspective, soaring above our circumstances, soaring above what people say? Well, we need to put on the mind of Christ and recognize that He is way above any of our circumstance or our situation today. Joseph was an interesting character in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, here's a guy that's just the youngest kid in his family. He was favored by his parents. I know that feeling. Anybody here the youngest in their family? How good is it? It's like all the other kids are experimental children and you just get all the glory. I love it. And the other kids tell you too, and that's even better. Hope my brother and sister aren't watching online. But you know it's true. And anyway, so he's got parents that favour him. He's sort of a bit immature. He goes to his brother and said, I had a dream that I'm ruling over you and you're serving me. And his brothers weren't excited about that. So they actually had him bound up and sold to the slave traders. He ends up in a Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife likes him. She makes an accusation against him. And in the end, he ends up in prison. When he went there, he was 17 years of age. We know the story that he goes on to rule alongside the Pharaoh. And as he rules alongside Pharaoh, now he is in this place where he's actually 30 years of age. 13 years later. In 13 years, who knows, you can build up all sorts of resentment, all sorts of hurt, all sorts of jealousy. Also, I'm going to punish those brothers. Look what they've done to me. God, why isn't my purpose coming to pass? What am I doing in prison? But in the end, he ends up alongside. And really, the litmus test is when you hear his brothers show up. And because there's been famine in the land and God gave him a vision to store up for 7 years, and then he actually is the savior of the people because they've got enough grain, his brothers actually have to come and get it from him. And you imagine the brothers, they're like, what's he going to do? He's probably going to throw us in prison. You know, he's going to do all these things. And they arrive and he speaks to them, and his response is incredible. It's definitely supernatural. It's not the natural. It's not how he would have felt at times. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save many people. Do we see all the things that God has allowed in our lives as being used for good? Or do we look at them and say, God, this is terrible. This isn't what you purposed for me. This isn't your plan for my life. How do you see what God has purposed for you? Because right now, whatever you're going through, if you trust God, if you take off your coat of worldly knowledge, if you take off what you've been thinking's going on, and you get to the place of repentance, and then you put on the mind of Christ, he's going to show you that he's got a purpose in the madness. He's got a purpose and a plan that's far greater than how you might feel today. Remember, our witness is not what we say. Our witness to people is them noticing our actions. And particularly when we're going through a tough time, that determines whether we believe what we're talking about. What we think in our minds forms a conviction in our hearts, and it affects the way we live our lives. So we need to recognize that our minds actually control what the outcomes of our lives are going to be. Fill them full of the thoughts of God. It takes constant discipline not to give in to our negative thoughts. It's exactly the enemy's plan that he would say, oh, it can't happen. Oh, that doesn't take place. Oh, everybody talks about it, but I never see it, so it can't be. And we build an ideology rather than taking on the full mind of Christ. Overcoming simply means freedom from self, freedom from our circumstances, and freedom from others' responses. Here's a man in jail in Robben Island, 7 years. Here's a young man for 13 years bound up in Joseph. Well, what we see from both of these guys is an incredible thing that takes place. Their circumstance, what bound them, what held them back, they suddenly realize is their greatest opportunity. The man in Robben Island makes this statement. He says, today I get paid. Before I went into jail, I was unemployed. But because I had inside knowledge in the jail, they wanted to employ me to be a tour guide. And he actually sort of smiles and goes, and it's good pay too. And he goes, not only that, they give me a free house on the island, and it looks straight over Cape Town with beautiful, unrestricted ocean views. I've been living there for 30 years. This is a great life. But it all started because he was prepared to take off the offense. He was prepared to say, the worldly mindset is I should get revenge. The worldly mindset is I'm jealous and I want what they've got. But actually, he allowed his binding, just like Joseph, to actually be the point that shaped him for his future destiny. How did he do that? He took on the mindset of Christ. Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform the bank income to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. I want to declare God's mindset over your mindset today, your feelings over what you feel others may be thinking of you and saying of you. And it's found simply in the word of God. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He has taken back the keys of death and hell. If God is for me, who can be against me? I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing until it overflows in your life. The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. His promises are yes and amen. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, the plan to prosper you and not to harm you. That's not me speaking. That's the mind of Christ over your situation. I want you all to stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet right around the room. Here's the key question. Are you just holding on to your jacket because it's comfortable? Would you be prepared to say, I'm going to take it off, get vulnerable, remove it today? Repent. God, I want your mindset in my situation. Even as I'm speaking right around the room, there's people that are going through things and you're going, he's speaking to me already. I want to be in that place where I know the mindset of God. I want to be in the place where he's in control rather than me being in control. So it's not working. I feel bound. I feel in prison. Well, you've got to remove that thinking, remove that lie, those thoughts that have built up, that have brought you to that negative place, that place where you feel defeated. Somebody here has kids that are away from God right now, and you're saying, God, how can that be? I've served in your house. Get out of your worldly, natural mindset. In an instant, God can bring them back. And he will bring them back if you get before him and get his mind and start praying into what his plan, purpose is for your life. Right now, across this room, Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you're open to say, God, I want your mindset. Maybe there's just one little area you've let him get in, the enemy. But today, you want to push him back. Maybe there's a lie that you've been, and you're blinded by it, but you say, I'm prepared to say, I remove my jacket. I position myself. God, would you forgive me for the place that I've been, the lack of belief. And as you position yourself, I believe in this place. I declare in this place a breakthrough is coming. I declare in this place that it is finished. I declare in this place that completion has happened on that issue and you're still living in it and it's like you've been going round and round the same mountain for a long time. Today it breaks because you put on the mindset of Christ. If that's you in any area of your life, I want you to lift your hands because I'm going to pray a prayer with you of faith. And we're going to believe something's going to lift. Something's going to be increased. Something's going to be released over your life, over your family, over your circumstance.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope you understand now that your mind can be renewed. You can live according to the pattern of God rather than the pattern of this world. Hey, why don't you join us on our social media platforms at Planet Shakers? And also, you can check us out on our website, planetshakers.com. Thanks for joining me today.